Thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? Just go to TorahMediaAtlanta.com and click on the donate link. Thank you very much.
Okay, welcome everyone for the Haftorah of Parshas Naso. In Parshas Naso that we just read, it talks about the mitzvah of being a Nazir. Yeah. And a Nazir is a very interesting thing. We don't have it anymore, because part of being a Nazir was that after the person finished being a Nazir, they would bring an offering. They would grow their hair long, and then when they bring the offering, they would cut their hair. And the hair would then be put in the fire that burned the offering. Very interesting. The concept of a Nazir, though, we have many important concepts that we learn out from a Nazir. In the Parsha, it talks about men and women being loyal to their spouse, and that sometimes people stray, and they do things they shouldn't. And the understanding is that most people would never do something. Why would they jeopardize their family, their marriage? Why would they, they have a loyal spouse and they're committed to each other. Why would they just throw it all away for some silly fling? So there's the idea that when people drink, they use bad judgment. And in our society, alcohol is very popular. And alcohol, we believe, is very important. We make kiddush. We sanctify the drinking of a little bit of alcohol. The problem is that some people drink too much, and then they can use very bad judgment when they drink. That's the basic problem in our society. One of the biggest crimes is drunk driving, and it's terrible. People get killed, and very, very prominent people, it's very common, more common than we know of in our society, for people to go out and drink, and when they drink, they just use bad judgment. Well, driving a car when you've drunk too much is terrible judgment. So many people are harmed by it. But it's just really, really common. So sometimes, though, people get addicted to a problem. If they have one drink, they can't stop. And so what a Nazir does is that he's... in the temple, they had a ceremony for people that, under the influence of drinking, had strayed and done things that they were ashamed of. So the Nazir, when he sees this, person isn't supposed to say, when he sees someone else do something, that's him, I'm better than him. But a person is supposed to say, he could do it, you know what? I don't know that I'm any better, I could make the same mistake. And so when a person witnessed a Nazirite, a woman or who had strayed or who had been disloyal, so their one way of protecting oneself from that would be to take a vow to become a Nazir, which meant no more wine. That was it. No wine for me. I'm not touching even a drop. Not only didn't they drink wine, they didn't even touch grape seeds, nothing. That was one part of being, probably the main part of being a Nazir. The second part of being a Nazir was they wouldn't cut their hair. So there's two ways to look at this. One way is that people, when they're very beautiful, they can be also use poor judgment. When people worship someone else, when they are taken by their beauty, so people sometimes goes to their head. Someone makes it's a compliment to have people. Attracted to you and a person. So what the Nazir does is, I'm not grooming. I'm not touching. My hair is growing in all directions, as wild as it could be. I'm not shaving. I'm not grooming. I'm not. And it's almost like the same thing, by the way, is with a mourner. When a person's in mourning, they also don't groom, mm-hmm. because they are focused on their loss. They're not focused on how they look. A regular person, they want to make sure the hairs are in the right place and that they look, kept and, neat. But a mourner and a Nazir also, they let the hair, they're not paying any attention to the way they look because they don't want to get caught up. Not only that, but once they get bald, for sure, they're not going to have, people are not going to be attracted. It's a person who's bald. Concentration camps people, the first thing they did was they cut off their hair. It made them feel like they were servants. They had no identity. And that's part of the Nazir. So the Nazir is going to lose his hair. His hair is going to be unkept. And the third thing is he's reminded of death. Now, it's very interesting. He's reminded of death by staying away from death, staying away from a cemetery, mm-hmm. the importance of life, the shortness of life. So those are the three focuses of the Nazir. And it was usually for the standard time mentioned in the Gemara and the Mishnah was 30 days. And that hair doesn't get too long for 30 days. Now, Shimshon was the first person to be a Nazir and to actually be born a Nazir. And until then, no one had ever heard of such a thing. And that's why you'll see when the mother tells the father, we got this great idea, we're going to raise this baby as a Nazir. No one had ever heard of such a thing. And in the Gemara, they call this Nazirus Shimshon. It's the Nazir of Shimshon. But it wasn't the standard. In other words, it was usually a Nazir mentioned in the Torah is just a one-time short thing. And it's very specific to a person. Today, Alcoholics Anonymous discovered that it's very difficult for people to have just one little drink. They do better by going cold turkey, no alcohol at all. Same thing with cigarettes too, by the way. If you just have a little bit, a person has cravings and it's very, well, just one more, just one more, just one more. People do much better cold. That's one way to prevent a person from getting involved with drink and getting involved in their looks and focused on, we're only here a short time and life doesn't last forever and the person focuses on these things and a Nazir becomes very holy. It's a very holy thing and a person sometime in their life can take on, man or woman can become a Nazir for a certain amount of time. And that's what they did. And at the end of that, they bring offerings. Now, it's really interesting. One of the offerings is actually a sin offering, which a Nazir doesn't do anything wrong. In fact, he was considered like a super holy person. So they say that in the ideal world, a person shouldn't have to say no more alcohol, and no more drinking, no grapes, nothing. But in fact, it's only because he can't control himself that he has to deny himself that. And so there's a view that he's bringing a sin offering because by not being able to enjoy wine, he's a sinner. We were put in the world to enjoy it. It happens to be sometimes we can't enjoy it because if we allow ourselves that one piece of cake, we're gone. Then it's going to be, it'd be nice if we could enjoy that, but the way it is that if we have it and it's in the house, it's one piece, it'll be two pieces, it'll be three pieces, that's one of the challenges. So that in a nutshell is one way to explain what a Nazir is. There is, with the hair, some people learn it as the hair, like I said, being not groomed. Mm-hmm. There is another way to learn it that it means the opposite, that a person grows long, beautiful hair, like very long and very... King David's son, Avshalom, was described as being a handsome Nazir. They said that his hair was the most unbelievable. He was born a Nazir, and King David was very pious, and he wanted his children to be very religious, so he had him become a Nazir. And instead of perhaps being not grooming himself and having wild hair, he had very long, beautiful, and he was very proud of it. And everybody knows that in the end he was killed because his hair got stuck in the tree, right? So there was a certain irony to that. But I don't know if most Nazirim had this went around with this long, beautiful hair in order to have long hair. But anyway, that was what a Nazir was. And that's how the Torah mentions in the Parsha last week about a Nazir, and therefore the Haftorah talks about probably the most famous Nazir, who was Shimshon. Mm-hmm. Shimshon is a very confusing figure in a sense that we believe that he was a tzaddik, a righteous person, and a very great person, and the Torah mentions him that way. And he led the Jewish people for 20 years. And during that time, he led the people. The most important function of government is security, to make sure the people are safe. I mean, once the people are safe, you could fix all the other problems. You can fix the taxes. You can fix the roads. But the first thing is, you got to have healthy people. But when the enemies are attacking and butchering us, then the first and most important function of government is safety. I think that's what people say, is that the people be, you have an army, you have a police force, that people be safe in the streets. So Shimshon, who was the leader, they lived under the Philistines, the Plishtim. Today also our enemies are called the Plishtim, the Palestinians. Today's Palestinians have nothing to do with the original Palestinians. The British called the land Palestine, and these are Muslims that were born in the land of Palestine, so they took the name Plishtim. But they are not related to the original. The original Plishtim were eventually killed and wiped out or sent to other lands. They were long gone from the land of Israel. But they were a menace to the Jewish people. And it should give us pause that when we open a Israeli newspaper, the headlines today are exactly the same as the headlines were 2,000 years ago. It's the most, it sends, shivers down your spine, like the Plishtim are attacking, and the Plishtim were throwing rocks and they harmed somebody, or the Plishtim, it's exactly, if you open the book of Tanakh, you got the land of Israel, and you have these Plishti terrorists that went and, that caused trouble and were butcher people, or they did whatever they did. So Shimshon was a pious person who was the leader who was going to protect the Jewish people from the Plishtim. And that's what's going to happen. If we had merited it, if we had been worthy of it, we would have been able to defeat them fully. But what happened was the Jewish people at that time, especially the tribe of Dan, who Shimshon was a member of, were idol worshippers. They dabbled in idol worship. And eventually that led to the downfall of the 10 tribes. They were all the Gentiles were doing idol worship, and it seemed like a fun thing to do. And so a lot of people, even though they were Jews and they were loyal Jews at home and they kept a Shabbos, but they would try out a little idol worship that appealed to them. Some of them were attracted to it. It's something we can't understand today. We believe that the people at that time had a desire to worship idols that we don't have. Today, you look and say, why do people do, why do people want drugs? Why do they want alcohol? Why do they want to do that? It makes no sense. Why would, some people, for money, they work so hard, they don't come home, they ruin their health. Why do they need so much money? They have more money than they could possibly spend. Why does a person who has everything, why does he stray? Why is he tempted to do, people have desires, and these desires sometimes take a person away from the world. And it's difficult to know why they do that. But the people of his time, some of them had this desire to worship idols, and they were doing it. And we didn't deserve to have a complete victory over the Philistines, the Plishtim. But what Hashem wanted was that at least they wouldn't come and attack us. They wouldn't feel free to come and just, push us around. And the Plishtim, when they were the main power, felt they could come and do with the Jews as they pleased. When Shimshon came to the scene, they all of a sudden became afraid to mess with Jews, because Shimshon taught them a lesson. He was very strong and mighty, and he put a fear into them. And during the time that he was the leader, so many of the things he did were in order to scare the Plishtim. They were not conventional. Today you can't imagine, the rabbi of the shul, doing, pulling the doors off the hinges of the gates of the city and hanging some of the Plishtim, whatever the difference. He tied the tails of the fox together and, let them go. And he did all kinds of interesting strategies, but the end result was it worked. The Plishtim they weren't going to mess with the Jews. Not only did it work, 20 years after he died, they didn't mess with Jews. That was the extent of Shimshon's power. But let's learn about it. Let's begin. Vahi ish achad mitzara, mirishpacha sadani. There was a person from the place called Sarah, from the tribe of Dan, ushmo Manoach. And the man's name was Manoach. V'ishto akara v'lo yelada. And his wife was barren and had not given birth. In the books of Tanakh, we find that great people many times were barren or didn't have children, and they were very pained because of that. The imahos, the mothers are of our people, almost all of them were barren, and the Gemara makes an interesting statement. It says that Hashem did it on purpose. You would say, well, if they were such wonderful people, why didn't everything go perfect for them? And we believe that sometimes Hashem challenges good people because he wants to hear from them. He wants them to be connected to him. If everything is good, when you have children that are out of town and they call, most often it's because they need something. Usually it's money. sometimes they call and say, oh, hi, everything's fine. But it's usually, well, can you send some extra money? You hear from them when they need something. And unfortunately, we're that way too. If somebody's sick, if something's not going right, then we talk to Hashem. We give it to him. We have something to say. And when something, if everything is good, yeah, we say thanks. But we're not motivated to pray that strongly. Sometimes Hashem, now in the ideal world, we can connect to Hashem without having him need to withhold something from us. We should thank him. Oh, thank you so much that we're healthy. Thank you that my children are healthy. Thank you that this is going right. I'm so grateful. But that would be the best thing. But sometimes it doesn't work that way. Hashem doesn't hear from us. And so he sends us a reminder by getting sometimes it means a person gets a bad test result, and sometimes it means that somebody isn't feeling well. And then all of a sudden we talk to Hashem and say, oh, yeah, oh, you're here. But that's just human nature. It's a shame that it has to be that way. But people who've had struggles in life become very special people. They become very close to Hashem. And they also become very sensitive people. They learn how they understand what people are going through. And therefore, we find, like I said, that a lot of righteous people, good people, didn't have things easy. And so that happens over here. The mother of Shimshon did not have any children. And in that society, in all societies, that's very hard for a woman who wants to be a mother, wants to have children, wants to have family. And it just didn't happen. It's really interesting, too. It uses a double expression. It says she was barren and she didn't give birth. It's kind of obvious if she was barren that she didn't give birth. I'm not sure what the double expression is for coming to teach us. But it just may be stressing what she was going through. So, Vayar Malach Hashem Al Isha, and the angel appears to the woman. So there's a debate why it appears to the woman more than the man. Some people say that she was she was the main person over here, and from the Haftorah you're going to get that impression. And it's not a secret to older people, but in many cases the woman is the greater partner, and sometimes you have a couple. So the man could be greater, the woman could be greater, or they both could be the same. But there are many cases out there where the wife, even though she has a quieter role, is much more intelligent, much more righteous or important in Hashem's eyes than the husband. But they're a partnership. They're two halves. When men say the better half, there's a reason for that. Some people will say that Manoach was a good guy, the husband, but really the wife was the really special one over here. And therefore, when the angel wanted to talk to someone, he talked to the one who was important. He talked to her. So that's why he appears to her. Other people say it was because Shimshon had to be a nazir from when he was born. So that normally it would be the mother who would be involved in that. If you want to make sure the child doesn't have any grape juice and doesn't have any grape jam or grape jelly and doesn't cut his hair, you better talk to the mother because the father is not going to be able to. But when you read this, you'll get the sense that she was the greater of the two, according to many people of this this particular story.
Well, Hashem told Abraham to listen to Sarah, didn't he?
Correct. That's correct as well. Yeah. That's right. It's funny that people are surprised by that, but it's the truth. Like I said, when you meet people, it's just a normal part of the human condition. Sometimes the man is great, sometimes the woman, sometimes they're both, sometimes neither, there are people are partners and they work together and each one brings different things to the table. There are some cases where there's like famous Rebbetzins where the husband is just not as, the wife was very talented and very creative and very, and the husband just gets drawn along for the show. But it's, they support each other. They do what they have to do. But you see that sometimes. Nobody advertises. Nobody likes to advertise. So, especially, we believe in simple. Sometimes a person can be a simple person and be very great. You don't have to be the big shot to be, in Hashem's book, sometimes it's a simple person who's the one who gets all the credit. But at any rate, the angel comes to the woman and he says, he said, behold, you've been barren. It's not clear why the angel repeats that to her. The angel wants to say that this is part of the plan. In other words, until now, Hashem has withheld children from you, and now you'll become pregnant and you'll give birth to a child for a special reason. Va'ato, and now, Hishmerina, please, be careful. Va'atishti yayin, don't drink wine. V'shecher. Or he translates this as an intoxicant. Somebody asked me about that. Actually, I have the Stone Book of Prophets. He translates Shaker as old wine. Because really, it sounds like from here that he can't drink schnapps. But technically, a nozer could drink alcohol. He just can't drink wine. Now, in theory, it'd be best to stay away from all. But I just found that I don't know if anybody had this Stone Book of Prophets, because this is the Stone Chumash, but the Stone Prophets translate Shechur as, sometimes they translate that as beer, but technically we know the laws of Nazar only apply to grape products, they don't apply to other products. Al Tocha, don't eat anything impure. Ki hinei harav yodaben, you're pregnant and you'll become pregnant and you'll give birth to a child. Umar lo yala roshan, he's not allowed to have a blade against his hair. Ki nazer elokim. It's interesting also, the word Nazar in Hebrew is connected to the word crown. Crown means that this person has taken on something special, something important, something different from other people. So he's wearing a crown, minanar minaba, from the day he's born. V'hu yachol oshias Yisrael miyad haplishtim. And he will be the one who will save the Jewish people from the Philistines. Verse 6, v'tavo isho, so the woman came. So this was really exciting news. Now, there's another thing here that's very interesting, and that is I'm not sure where it comes from, but we've always, when we think of an angel, we think of something that flies in the air, and you could definitely tell if you saw an angel. But what's clear from Chumash is that an angel doesn't look like an angel necessarily. An angel, in most cases, at least in the Torah, the angels were really humans. They looked human. And with Avraham and with Lot, it's not clear they knew they were angels. In fact, according to many people, the reason Sarah laughed when they said she would have a child is because she thought these were just regular Arabs. And in fact, they brought water to wash the sand off their feet because they thought they were going to worship the dust on their feet because they were idol worshippers. They didn't think they were angels. But the reason why this is important, I've heard firsthand from several Holocaust survivors that they feel that they saw an angel, that they saw... we believe that Elijah is... the original flesh and blood Elijah went up to heaven and he turned into an angel. He's no longer a human that's eating and drinking somewhere and living. We just don't see him. We believe that Eliyahu is a form of an angel. And at different times he comes to earth. But when he comes, sometimes he's just another person who's sent down to help us. And sometimes the person would be a... someone has a story that they were running away from the Nazis or whatever, and somebody happened to be there and told them, don't go this way, go this way, and they don't know who that person, they give them food, and they went back later, nobody was there, and they don't know who told them that, and sometimes Hashem sends a person, and it may look like a person, but you know who that person might be? It might be Eliyahu. We don't know. In other words, sometimes Hashem sends us a person. I once had... my car broke down once, and this big 18-wheel truck stopped behind me, and a guy came out of the truck with tattoos, and I was terrified, I was I'm going to lock the door, and he helped me get I don't remember if he got the tire changed or if he took me down to, I don't even remember the details anymore, but he just came along and helped me and was the... Now, it could have been a trucker. There could have just been a nice trucker who saw, and you know. But it just... he was... the word in Hebrew for an angel, Malach, actually means a messenger. An angel is a messenger of God. And so sometimes Hashem uses humans to be messengers, but it certainly wasn't something I expected. I had no reason to expect a trucker would stop to help me with my car when it was broken down or the... we all have experiences in life where just a regular human, it just surprises us why that person would be there, why they would do what they do. And so sometimes it's a regular human, and sometimes Hashem put that person there to help us out at that time, for whatever the reason, a messenger of Hashem. So this angel comes to her. She doesn't know who he is. He could be an angel. They had, in those days, prophets. And the prophets were very holy people. They were people that were separate, who fasted and were Kabbalistic, and they had visions. And so it could be she thought he was a prophet. She wasn't really sure. But there is a concept that sometimes when a person speaks truth, you get a sense that it's true. So she believed in this person, whoever it was, whoever that masked man was who she saw, she believed in him. So let's see the words. In fact, she calls him a man of God. Verse 6, V'tavo Isha, she hurries up, and she comes to her husband. And she says, Isha Elohim, guess what? Guess what happened to me today? You'll never believe it, right? A man of God came to me. And you know what? This man of God, Mareya, he looked just like an angel. Whatever an angel looks like. I don't know. I mean, in those days, they didn't even have Hollywood. Like, who knows what they thought an angel looked like. Menorah Ma'od. And shit, he looked kind of scary. That's very, not just scary, very scary, right? V'lo shalti, and he didn't tell me. Now, this is interesting. I don't have a great explanation for this. Now, by the way, when I tell you I don't know, sometimes what I mean is, if one of you has an idea, you can feel free to tell me. And it, sometimes I've seen ideas, and I'm still, we're going to see here that she tells him, I didn't know his name. I didn't ask him his name. And then later on, the man's going to ask him his name, and he's going to say, why do you ask? There's like something going on over here with the asking of the name or the... but she says, I saw this guy. He was amazing. He was incredible. He was scary. And I just didn't ask him what his name was. Or he didn't tell me. I didn't ask him where he was from. You know, normally you say, hey, where are you from? So I don't know why that's important that she didn't ask. Maybe she thought the husband would want to know, who was it? Where was he from? Why did he, you know? So she said, I didn't ask him that. And this is what he told me. He said, behold, you were expecting and you'll give birth to a son. And now, and don't drink any wine or intoxicating any kind of old wine. Al tochol kol tami, don't eat impure things. Ki nazir lokim yeh hanar, because he will be special to Hashem from the stomach, from when he's from birth, ad yomoso. By the way, this idea that it's very important for pregnant people to be careful what they eat. We know really from this, it starts from here. In other words, because she was giving birth to a child who would be holy and not, would derive his holiness from being a nazir and not drinking wine, so she also couldn't drink wine. And it took medical science like another 3,000 years to learn that what pregnant women eat and drink affect the child. In fact, now they have a warning on beer that this may be hazardous to a pregnant, you know. So they said, you know, be careful not to drink, you know, whatever you eat or drink is going to affect the child. That's such a basic rule that comes out from Tanakh, or really from here too. So now Manoach, it says that he davened to Hashem that this angel come again. Now, it's not clear why he wanted, it seems like he had questions for him, or he wasn't sure, but he says, please Hashem, Ish Elokim Asher Shalachti, the man of God that you sent, let him come again. I want to see him. V'yireinu manas lenar, I need to know. Some people say he wasn't sure if he should be a Nazir or not. That was his question. V'yishma Elokim, and Hashem heard b'kol Manoach. Now Manoach was a good person. I didn't mean by the fact that his wife was greater than him didn't take away from, he was a pious person. He davens to Hashem, and he says, and this is what happens. V'yom Malach Elokim, and the Malach comes back, but the Malach doesn't come to him. It comes back to the wife. Some people say that there was a little trouble between the two. When people in a marriage, when any marriage, when when things go well, it's like any business. So everything is great. Why should anybody fight? But when things, they have problems, when there's not enough money to go around, or in this particular case, when they didn't have children. So when they didn't have children, so life was difficult, because in Judaism, life is around a family and children, and other people have children. And so there was a certain tension between the two as to the fact that they didn't have children. And so some people say the angel came to her that the husband should value her, should appreciate, to show, you know, like respect for his wife, that that was why the angel keeps on coming, reappearing to her first, that he should value her. And so, v'hi yosheves, she happened to be in the field, and menoch isha ain, and her husband wasn't with her. Verse 10, v'tamar, like, it's just funny how this happens. Like, why couldn't the malach come when they both were together? Like, the malach comes when she's alone in the field. V'tamar isha, so the woman hurries up, and she says, v'taretz, and she's running. She's afraid this angel's going to disappear. So it could be maybe he didn't trust her. I don't know. So you have to. You can kind of guess. You don't really. We don't know enough of the details over here. But Tage Elisha, and she comes to her husband with Tombe 11. She tell. We turn the page. 1182. He here he is. The man's come. Biyom Eli. Biyakom, and he gets up. Biyelok Manoach Achra Ishto. Manoach follows his wife. Biyavala Ish, and they come to the man. Biyomerlo Haata Ish, are you the man that my wife spoke to? And he says, yep, Ani, I'm he. It's just interesting because the Haftorahs are always so poetic and prophetic. Here we have a good story, you know. So, so Manoach says, that's great news. I like your words. It should happen. You know, what you said should come true. But yeah, Maya Mishbet Hanar, tell me what's going on. It could also be that, as we said, Naziris was not something done with a little child. This was very different. I mean, having a little child in, you know, in diapers. Oh, who's he? He's a Nazir. You know, he's a holy one to Hashem. Like, that was typically you let the child grow up till you decide if he's going to be holy, what he's going to be. Here, no, they raised him from day one. He was going to be special. Kids also, especially in those days, they didn't have Fisher Price, and they play in the dirt. You know, they play with stuff they find. In that society, they would find, you know, creepies and bugs and swarmy things. And a lot of these things cause impurity. And so if you were raised as a Nazir, you couldn't play, you know, in certain places where the other kids were playing. You had to be careful. And so this was important. Let's see, verse 13. V'yor malach Hashem ha-manoch mikol asher amarti al isha. He said, so you know what he says? He says, listen to what I told your wife. I'm not going to repeat it. He same as the Malach told Avram the Sora. He said, you know, do what she says. She knows what she's talking about. Mikol asher amarti al isha tishan. Whatever I told your wife to be careful with, that's what you should do. Mikol asher yetzi migef, anything that comes out of grapes or wine, loto, don't eat miyayim ishay, and don't drink. Mikol tamei al tochel, kakol asher siyuti. Whatever I told, everything, she got it all right. Verse 15, v'yom enoch ha-malach Hashem netzunah. So, they like this guy. He had good news. Somebody tells you good news, we like the messenger when they tell us good news. So they said, you know what? Why don't you stay with us a little? Benasta, you know what? Let's have some, maybe we'll make a barbecue. Nice southerner, we'll have some good goat. They knew how to make good goat roast. We'll have some goats. V'yomer malach Hashem Noach, he said, I'll test you. Don't hold me back. Well, I can't eat with you. V'im tasa ola, but you know what? If you want to bring an offering to Hashem, ki lo yada Manoach. Now, Manoach was talking this way because he thought he was a person. He didn't know ki malach Hashem hu. He didn't realize that this was the angel of Hashem. V'yom Manoach ha-malach Hashem. So now, this is what I was telling you. And Manoach, I don't know if he was curious or if he says, Mashemecha, what's your name? Ki yavo devrecha. He said, why do I want to know? He said, because when what you say comes true, I want to honor you. I want to thank you. Sometimes, you know, if a person helps you out, you want to know who it is so you can send him a thank you note or so you can show appreciation. That's a nice thing, you know. That's proper. If someone, you know, someone does something for you, you say, you know, let me, you know, what's your name? This way I'll make a donation in your honor. I'll do something, right? So tell me what your name is so I can do that. So now here the angel gives him a funny answer. Lama Tisha, it's like a very Jewish, why are you asking me my name? Lama Tisha, why are you asking me? Vahu Peli, my name is a wonder. So it could be that the angel was trying to hint to him that I'm an angel.
Didn't Yaakov ask the same question?
Yes, he did. And he also got a funny answer. You know, the he said, you know, what's the... it could be that he was asking him about his mission. What was the... when you ask somebody their name and the person's an angel, and angels don't really have names. They're given a name towards their mission. So, like, if it's a healing angel, he's Raphael to come heal you. If it's a, there's the angel of death, we all know what he comes for. We don't want to know about that. There's the Yetzirah. They're different angels. So, if he's an angel, so what? In effect, he was asking him, why is my child going to have to be a Nazir? What's the purpose? What is your name? What is the mission? So he was saying that we can't. It's not for us to ask. Really. And that's what he was saying. We're going to see Shimshon was very confusing because he was raised super holy. And when it comes to get time to get married, he goes down to Gaza and he picks out a nice Arab, you know, nice Philistine girl. And he tells his parents, she's the one I want to marry. And his parents are shocked. They're these two pious Jewish women. And they said, what, you couldn't find a nice Jewish girl? You had to go down to... And they didn't understand it. You know, here their son was like a prophet. You know, Shimshon is a very holy, special person. And he kept on picking these very strange women to be his wives. So his parents were, throughout life, they were going to wonder. And... they didn't understand, you know, Shimshon was captured in his old age and was blinded. You know, it was terrible. The parents had a lot of questions. And so in a certain way, what the angel was telling them is, in life, there are certain questions you don't ask. And that's what it's telling us. There's so many things that we don't understand why Hashem does. You know what? Don't ask. It's a wonder. We as humans have to accept, if we know that it's coming from Hashem, it's not a question we can't... I mean, we can ask, but don't expect to know. Some people in life, their problem is they expect that they're going to understand and know, and there is no answer. It's a wonder. It's Peli. And so it could be that's what the angel was saying to him over here. You know, here I told you I don't know what it means, then I'm telling you an answer. But I still think it's interesting. But that's one way to understand what the angel was saying to him, was is that, you know, don't ask. You know, don't ask about something that you don't expect to really know. Modern man likes to ask those kind of questions. You know, why did this one die and this one live? Why did this happen? And what are we supposed to say? You know, it's a wonder. V'yikach Manoach, so Manoach takes the goats and the offering and he offers them on the stone to Hashem. And an amazing thing happens. Normally you have to get the fuel together. What you do is you make the offering and then you have to make the wood pile. And I think they did it the old-fashioned way where you rub the sticks and you get a spark. It took a long time to get a fire in those days. They didn't have, you know, but a miraculous thing happens and it catches fire. The fire comes from the heavens. And he and his wife were just watching. Verse 20, and this big flame comes on from the heavens, and all of a sudden the person disappears into the flame. This is really cool. Like the angel like turns into a fire. And they can't believe it. They thought this was a human. And all of a sudden the human turns into a fire and goes up to the heavens in the flame. So they fall on their faces. And 21, they never saw this angel again. They, you know, you would have thought the angel came back twice in a short time. So then, Az Yada Manoach Kima, then they understood that it was the angel of Hashem. Now, Manoach over here, he thinks that they've had it. He says, V'yoma Manoach Ishto, he says, you know what? We better get ready to die. Ki Elokim Re'inu, because we just saw God. It says in the Torah that you will not see Hashem and live. A human is incapable of fully seeing Hashem. Some people say, how does the angel of death kill people? What kills a person is when their soul leaves their body. And the soul comes from Hashem. And when the angel comes, the soul knows where its source is. Its source is from Hashem. And so what happens is the angel... when the soul sees this angel, it goes back to where it came from. It sees the angel, it's reminded that it belongs to Hashem, and it goes back. And once the soul leaves the body, then the body is just, you know, nothing there anymore. And so when the angel of death comes, what it's doing is it's appealing to the soul to come back, so to speak. And so so he thought, if we saw the angel, we saw Hashem, you know what that must mean? That means we're finished. That's it. This is what Manoah thought. Now his wife, again, she seems, like I said, she seems to be more on the ball over here. Tamar lo ishto, she said, if Hashem wanted to kill us, why did he take the offering? And what about the promise about the child? Never heard of such. She says to him, that's not what's going on over here. This is not Hashem's will that we're going to die. So she perceived correctly. But it's interesting that, again, if the Torah records the conversation, it's for a reason. It's so interesting what was said. Okay, verse 24, V'teil Ishan, she gives birth, V'tikra Eshmo, and who gives the child a name? Now, usually it's the man that gives the name. Over here, it's the mother. So again, she was a strong lady, this Mrs. Shimshon, right? We know her name from other places. Her name was Salponius, I believe. But it's not given in the text. But she calls his name Shimshon. The word Shimshon comes from the word Shemesh, the sun. The sun was the great. The sun is the great power. It's the great energy. It warms things. It gives the things would always be. It gives light. And so she named her child Shimshon from the, just like the sun is powerful and protecting and warm, that's the way Shimshon should be. Verse 25, and he grows up, and what happens is the spirit of Hashem comes to him in the camp of Dan, Ben Sir, Ben Eshto. So there's two opinions about Shimshon. We're going to see that he's only strong when the spirit of Hashem comes to him. When the spirit of Hashem doesn't come to him, he's just a regular person, and people have power over him, as we'll see. You know, when his wife cut off his hair at the end, he was just a weakling. They were able to. So the pictures all show Shimshon as this like big wrestler, you know, with big biceps. And most people say he just looked like a regular person, but when Hashem's power came upon him, that gave him unusual strength. He didn't necessarily look like a muscle man. In fact, his regular way of looking, he wasn't unusually strong. Other people do learn that he was built in an unusually strong way, in either way, but his power came from Hashem. Hashem gave him this unusual power. And again, there's really a whole other book in Shoftim, in Judges, where it talks about him, but it definitely tells us that the holiness begins with the training that a person gets from their parents.
For those of you who do catch up online with this class, and if you access it through Torah Media Atlanta, you should be aware that Yisrael Killian, who runs Torah Media Atlanta, reached out because donations to that site are down. For those of you who do take advantage of it, I would suggest making a donation online when you do use it so that he can continue that site.